Appreciate the Lord this morning. Now, as we turn to Revelation, the sixth chapter, the scene is going to change real quickly. We're going to go into the evening time, light. So beginning at verse number 12, Revelation 6 and 12. And I beheld, when it opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? As we begin to study this seal or look at it for a while this morning, you will notice, amen, there's no horses mentioned as was in their first four seals. But it does say the first thing that happened when this seal was opened, there was an earthquake. Now we know when an earthquake happens, literally or spiritually, it's because something has changed, either in the atmosphere or out in the preaching of God's word. This seal will reveal what happens when judgment is poured on Babylon or sectarian systems of worship. Something's going to happen. Amen. And this seal will show us what took place. Amen. When reformers of the sixth seal, amen, period of time, we're talking around 1880, amen, up here on the chart. Amen. And when the evening time light, the unity of God's people begin to be preached. Amen. Reformers of the sixth seal of time preached the message, the unity of God's people and the one church. And back of me, you see a chart. I went through this many times to let you know, amen, that is a chart dealing with the church from conception, amen, in AD 33 on through to the consummation. Amen. And breaking up into seven periods of time, there were seven seals, seven trumpets, seven letters. Amen. Sent. Amen. To the churches or the church of God or to the pastors. Amen. There were seven vials, trumpets. Amen. All depicting something that took place in that particular era of time, beginning in AD 33 and going through the apostasy on up through to the dark ages, the coming out of light. Amen. And more light as you see going through the ages, you can see, amen, the Bible, amen, being opened more and more. Amen. As in light as light is shed in these ages of time. Amen. But something happens. Something happens when judgment is poured out. And this seal will show us. But once to really, truly get a vision of the church, it's going to take pouring out of judgment on that which is false. We all know that God is a God of truth. Psalm 96 and verse 13. Psalm 96 and 13 says, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Amen. Now, when we get into some things, we want to remind you, we're talking about systems of worship. Amen. That distort the truth and put up sectarian walls that divide God's people. And every child of God, when they're born again, has within them the desire, amen, for unity, the desire to be with their brothers and sisters who also are saved. Let's look at the conception of the early church. Turn me to Acts 2:41. Let's see what happened, amen, when these New Testament converts, amen, had gotten saved on the day of Pentecost. Acts, the second chapter, verse number 41 says, "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued," amen, "they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers." They continued, the Bible says, steadfastly or consistently, loyally, faithfully, in doctrine and in fellowship. Isaiah, the first chapter, verse number 27, says this, "Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness." The word redeemed here, used here, means they'll be released or delivered. And that's what brought me out of sin and showed me the church. Judgment preaching. Oh, I know there's a battle against it today. You can't judge, you can't do this, you can't do that. Amen. There's many that rise up against it. Amen. But if I'm wrong, amen, I want God to tell me I'm wrong. When the sixth seal was opened, judgment was poured out. Those who were honest hearted, desired to die out to sin, came out a dead, dried up religion. Amen. Where there was no change in their lives, and they came to Zion. Isaiah, the 35th chapter, Isaiah prophesied in verse number 10, saying this, "The ransom of the Lord shall return. Come to Zion with songs, everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy, gladness, sorrow, and Zion shall flee away. Out of the hills of Babylon are some people who are sick of dead formal religion. They're walking all the light they've received. And all they have to do is hear the sound of the trumpet and the truth of God's word. And the Holy Spirit will lead them to Mount Zion, or the city of God." There are people out in Babylon whose hearts are crying out for more. They're sick of dead formal religion. And there's nothing worse than a Church of God congregation, amen, that once stood for truth or was bathed in the truth of God's word, amen, they settle in and get established in deadness. Deadness. Where God is, there's life. When God's Spirit is in a congregation, you know it. And when he's not, you know it. Sad to say, but there are honest hearts who got led astray by members of these systems, and because of the desire for truth, because of the confidence in some people, they go into deception and lose the joy, happiness they once enjoyed in the truth. I don't know about you, but the more I live for God, amen, the more I go along on this journey, amen, I don't lose my joy. I don't lose, amen, the happiness I found in Christ. I find it just gets better and better and better. Amen. Amen. I don't have to walk around with a sad look on my face all the time. Thank God. Thank God for the truth. I was thinking, Brother Jeremy now teaches the adult Sunday school class. Brother Fred has about it was time. He's going to be a substitute now instead of full time. And Brother Jeremy said this, of course, when he gets up here. He said, I got 2 years before I'm supposed to be in this class. But he's in it now anyhow. But he said it's like school. Sunday school is just like going to school. But there is a couple differences. Just a couple differences. I always look forward, going to high school, to graduating. I don't know that one. I couldn't wait going to school. Amen. Waiting to get out of school. Be on my own, have my car, my job, and all that kind of stuff. Over here, it don't happen that way. When you leave this one, there is no other school to go to. It's all over. Amen. Now, there are people that have left truth today. Amen. They're not happy, although they put on a big front. And led away by somebody close to them. It could be a wife. Could be a husband. Could be a wife who couldn't put up with the standard. It could be a husband who wanted to go to the golf course, wear shorts, and have just a jolly good time. It could be those who want to get their Christmas trees that they've always longed for and couldn't have when they were in a place of bondage. And couldn't have them without being feeling condemned. And oh, how they desire to wear a ring. Amen. Love those earrings also. They feel now they're in a place they can wear their slacks, their shorts, and not be looked down upon. And they're free, free, free at last. And their soul dries up and their spirituality dips to an all-time low. And what happens? They become accustomed to it. And all the while they're in that, they feel that they've lost none of their spirituality. You talk about a deception. What happens? They come under a strong delusion. They actually believe a lie. Amen. What lie do they believe? Feeling they're all right when they're wrong. 2 Thessalonians, familiar scripture, chapter number 2, verse 10. This is a fearful, fearful scripture. Amen to those that fall away. Verse 10 says, with all deceivableness, unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, they shall believe a lie, that they all might be damned. What a terrible thing they have to write. Who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Believe a lie and go to the judgment. Believe in something that was not true. Amen. Back in Revelation, we found that when the sixth seal opened, there was an earthquake. And we have discussed what takes place. When the presence of God pays a special visit, it causes, amen, an earthquake. Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse number 50. Matthew 27 and 50, amen, the presence of God. Let me say this again. The presence of God in that sixth seal caused an earthquake on false systems of worship. Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. and came out of the graves after his resurrection, went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Amen. Where the presence of God is, something is going to happen. Here he was, an earthquake, when Jesus died or gave up the ghost. Amen, on the cross. Well, how about at his tomb? Turn with me to Matthew 28:1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. Let's get one more. Paul and Silas in prison. Turn me to Acts, the 16th chapter. Verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God. Before they sang, they prayed. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. Truth can be very upsetting to some people. St. John, the 6th chapter, which is a long chapter. Jesus had fed the multitude with 2 fishes, 5 barley loaves, with plenty left over. Well, Luke 9:13-14 says, there were about 5,000 that was fed. John says a multitude. But John goes on in his writing to tell how the people sought him or followed him for the miracles that he did. And Jesus said that he was the bread of life and was the bread from heaven. Amen. And what happened? They were offended. John 6:41 says, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And John 6:66, John 6:66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Amen. The truth can offend. Not everybody is going to accept the truth. Not everybody stayed with Jesus. Not everybody stayed with the apostles. Amen. And we know they were the greatest teachers of any time. Matthew, the 15th chapter, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die to death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. He goes on to say, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy to you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? People get offended so easy today. Amen. And the truth is going to offend those out in Babylon. Amen. Amen. Those out of Babylon who are settled in to that old sectarian spirit. The truth sometimes is offensive, especially to those who don't want to hear it. Some of the greatest preachers I mentioned before had people leave them. Jesus did, Paul did, John did. Just name a few. John, amen, had ones leave, amen, who he called Antichrist. Now, as we get into this seal in the Revelation, the sixth chapter, we find in the last verse of this chapter what was going on. What's this seal all about? Well, the last verse of the sixth chapter of Revelation tells us, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? We're going to be talking about this morning for a while the wrath of God on systems of worship, amen, that had God's people in bondage. Why? Because the people could not die out to sin. Amen. God has nothing but wrath for systems that teach false doctrines, that give his people false security on eternity. After the earthquake, the 12th verse says, the sun became black as sackcloth or of hair. The moon became as blood. Well, what's John talking about? What's the Revelator talking about? Matthew 24:29 says this. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. We're talking in symbolic language. The sun represents New Testament light. Amen. And that's what the Bible says the church is clothed in. Revelation 12:1 says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Amen. What's the picture? What's the picture the Revelator is showing us? 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, amen, we lie, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, it's all about light. As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Failure to walk in the light brings gross darkness. Amen. They don't stop walking. Amen. But they walk in things that they once stood against. Matthew, the sixth chapter. I'm moving around a little bit here. Matthew, the sixth chapter, says this in verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And therefore the light that's in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? We have before us a picture of people in sectism. Amen. We're being called out, refusing that call, but we're satisfied with what they were in. Light stops. Amen. Under the fourth seal, they had light like a candle. In the fifth seal, light moved up like a flashlight. But in the sixth seal, here comes a spotlight, which sisters of worship rejected and went right into darkness. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. What's sackcloth used for? It's a sign of mourning. Genesis 37:34. And Jacob rent his clothes and put on what? Sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. Jacob, being told that Joseph, his son, was killed, immediately went into mourning. When truth comes and one fails to walk in it, amen, what they've got won't satisfy. Revelation 6:13 says the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Now, what stars is he talking about? Not the stars in the sky above you. But stars represent something. The ministry. The ministry. Let's prove it by the Bible. Turn with me to Revelation, the first chapter, verse 10. Somebody said, I don't understand the Revelation. I don't understand it all either. But I'm not going to quit reading it and studying it. Amen. Some people, just because they don't understand a certain portion of Scripture, give up on it. Amen. The Revelation is given, amen, for his servants, those that serve God. Revelation 1 and 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches. Here were seven letters, which are in Asia: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I turned, John said, to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto a son of man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto brass, as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Here in these verses, John in a vision, John has seen a vision, got a glimpse of the Christ of Revelation. And it certainly is a different type Christ, amen, you read about in the Gospels. John goes on describing what he saw. And there's two symbols he uses: candlesticks and stars. In verse 20, that same chapter, Jesus explained, amen, what these two symbols mean. The revelation, we say this every time we preach. Everyone that preaches on Revelation says the same thing. It's written in symbolic or signified symbolic language. Revelation 1 and 20, he's going to explain these symbols. He says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in thy right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels or the pastors of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. God uses a ministry to bring the light of Jesus Christ to people's souls. They fell. It said they fell from their exalted position. God had placed them in down to an earthly system of worship. No longer were they exalted. When ministers turn from truth or fail to walk in the light, there's a falling away from the presence of God in their preaching. Their preaching becomes a dead letter. Stars fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree, he said, amen, casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. Here he's dealing with what they call the winter figs, before they reach maturity, are easily shaken off by the wind and fall to the ground. Now, as we hurry on along in this, Revelation 6:14 says, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The sixth seal message was the unity of the faith and the message of the one church. Amen. Somebody said, does our text teach this? Let's go back to verse 14. When the heaven departed as a scroll, when it's rolled together, the heaven departed. Amen. What's he talking about? Symbolizes the people of God moving from division to unity. The thought of being rolled together, a picture of God's people coming together to compose, amen, the one body, the church of the living God. The message did away with sectarian walls, and the message of the one church was preached. God help those who are God's people to get rid of that old get-along spirit of sectism. Do you know that God can't stand babbling? I'm not talking about people. There's good people out there. Don't get me wrong. There's good saved people out there walking on the light they've got. But that system of worship, God despises. Somebody said, well, amen, they're good people. That's a good church. Then why is God calling people out? God's calling people out. God is against division. And there is no worse division than that created by supposedly God's people who are supposed to be an example of the message they preach. They get up and they preach on unity. Amen. But their life produces sectarian walls. Revelation 6:15 says, the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men in every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now we need to understand, church, and you know this well, there's only one true mountain in the Word of God. Amen. There's only one true haven. That is in Christ. But here was a people who sought a haven in their systems or their denominations. Revelation 18:4 says this, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. God doesn't want his people dwelling in the strongholds of Babylon any more than he did Israel staying in Egypt. God don't want his people in bondage to systems. Amen. To systems that teach contrary to the word of God. Here was a people who heard the voice of God turning back to the comfort of their denominations and doctrines and creeds, wanting it to be their hiding place. Turn me to Isaiah 28. Verse 17. You can preach a whole message on about each one of these verses, but we're just highlighting them. Verse 17. Judgment also will I lay to the line, righteous to the plummet. The hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. When the truth goes forth yet today, people run to their doctrines, to their creeds, and say, our church doesn't teach it that way. Amen. In this revelation, they cried out to these doctrines, creeds, fall on us, cover us, protect us from the wrath or judgment of God. Save us from this judgment preaching. Amen. This is not a picture of a final judgment, but preliminary judgment that we are under yet today. God help you and I to never buck up against the truth. Because our freedom in Christ depends on us walking in the light. Again, the revelation, when you preach it, we don't preach it to put people down. It's the systems of worship that have got people bound yet today. Once in grace, always in grace. Water baptism, tongues, amen, just to name a few, amen, that have got God's people in bondage. Amen. Walking in the truth, walking in the light, amen, is our only means of making it into eternity, amen, as we ought. Walking in the light, the light's getting brighter, brighter. We are now in the seventh seal. We'll get into that sometime. The seventh seal where the mystery of God is opened up. All the mystery of all the seals, God has opened up in the seventh seal of time. As we close the message this morning, I want to read Scripture, 1 John, chapter 1, verse 7. And I want to tell you, church, what the problem is when it comes to unity and fellowship. This is your answer in this verse. But if we walk in the light, as he, speaking of Christ, is in the light, we have fellowship. It's there. Automatically there. We have fellowship. It belongs to us. One with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What's the problem today, Church of God? Nobody will ever admit it. But it's the truth is right here. People are not walking in the light. What do you mean walking in the light? As he is in the light. As he, speaking of Christ, who's our example? Jesus Christ. Would Jesus do the things that you're doing today? Would Jesus get up a miff tree and leave a congregation? Amen. Would Jesus get out, would go out, what did you ever read where he went out and run down the congregation he left? What? Because he didn't leave no congregation. But if he did, do you think he'd turn around and badmouth it? Call it Babylon? As he is in the light. As he is in the light. Our freedom in Jesus Christ, amen, is gauged by our walking in the light as he is in the light.